same scientific research and discovery in respect as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings, this is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is June 13, 2019. You might be surprised to know that back in May, there was an article that appeared in Vox that says the fertility rate hit a historic low in 2018 in America. This was not particularly shocking. The demographic trends have been established for many years, that the birth rate and fertility rate are both going down in the West and in particular in the United States. But uncoupled by any moral or ethical boundaries, technocrats have ideas to supplement the drop in fertility and the drop in relationships by creating sex robots. And sex robots around the world are taking the extended pornography world to a new height. Sex robots are being made today that have artificial intelligence, are able to communicate and hold conversations with their owners. And of course, they can be used for any type of sexual gratification that is desired without complaint, without headaches, without any kind of feedback or kickback. And the problem with this is, as it comes out in Psychology Today magazine, is that sex robots may have a connection to the end of civilization. Now, the publication Psychology Today, by the way, is one of the most respected magazines and journals on issues of psychology, and they have tackled this phenomena. And they write in their article, imagine this, a totally realistic robot of your own design that is capable of fully carrying out any sex act that you can dream up. It looks, smells, and sounds incredibly realistic, and your state-sponsored insurance paid for her in full. In effect, she was free, prescribed by your physician to help with your status as officially, quote, sexually dysfunctional, close quote. Recent federal legislation supported overwhelmingly by a male majority in the House and the Senate has made this kind of medical prescription perfectly legal. This is indeed pretty shocking. Does the world need sex robots? No. The idea of relationship between men and women should be natural, should be intimate, should be ongoing. But as this study points out in Psychology Today, there's five conclusions. Men who are disproportionately represented as consumers of pornography will likely be overrepresented as consumers of sex robots. Within committed relationships, sexual interactions, which are apparently already on a nationwide decline, are likely to drop further in prevalence. Intimacy in relationships, which strongly maps onto both quality and quantity of sexual interactions within mateships, is likely to drop in quantity as well. The prevalence of marriage and birth rates may well see declining numbers. And lastly, motivation for people to work on relationship problems within mateships will be naturally reduced. In short, the advent of sex robot technology may well foreshadow in many ways the demise of intimate relationships in the modern world. This is a phenomenon that we can only shake our head at and wonder, what are people thinking as they invent technology that will potentially lead to the demise of Western civilization? Next article is titled, Self-Driving Cars Could Disrupt the Airline Industry. This is a very interesting twist on the advent of self-driving cars, like Google, for instance, has their Waymo cars. And technocrats who promised that their self-driving cars would solve major urban transportation problems never thought through the overall consequences of their actions. Airlines may be disrupted, and studies have already shown that urban congestion is increasing, not decreasing. Well, it's just getting started, and it promises to be a bumpy ride. The article starts out, as driverless cars become more capable and more common, they will change people's travel habits, not only around their own communities, but across a much larger distance. Our research has revealed just how much people's travel preferences could shift and found a new potential challenge to the airline industry. Imagine someone who lives in Atlanta and needs to travel to Washington, D.C. for business. This is about a 10-hour drive. A flight takes about 2 hours, assuming no delays. Add to that the drive to the airport, checking in, the security line, and waiting at the gate. Upon arrival in D.C., it may take another 30 minutes to pick up any checked bags and find a rental car, and even more time to drive to the specific destination. The average person would estimate a total travel time of 4 to 5 hours. Most people would choose to fly instead of driving themselves. However, if they could have a fully driverless car take them there, the choice changes. Passengers could eat, drink, work, and sleep during the 10-hour drive. They could leave whenever they want and pack whatever they want, including liquids and pocket knives, with no searches or scans. When they get to D.C., they wouldn't have to find a rental car and navigate to the actual place they're going. What would you choose? Now imagine the self-driving car has a reclining seat with actual legroom or even a bed, and it's more than a little tempting. The future of driverless cars means people have more options to avoid driving on their own beyond trains and buses. The existence of driverless cars is a direct outcome of the Agenda 21 policy to remove automobiles from society, to get people onto other modes of transportation, especially bicycles, light rail, things like that. But what's happening is that instead of decreasing the number of rides that people are taking, it's actually going up. It's so easy to take an Uber or a Lyft ride that people will now go places on impulse that they might not have gone before. And whether or not they have an automobile in their own garage is immaterial. That automobile was just sitting there anyway. It wasn't polluting anything when it doesn't run. And people were probably hesitant to get out their automobile, fill it up with gas, service it, et cetera, do all the things necessary to get on the road and take a trip. But now with driverless cars and ride sharing, that metric changes. So the number of actual trips that people are taking are increasing, not decreasing. And this is increasing congestion in downtown areas wherever these automobiles are introduced. There's a number of reasons for that too. Secondarily, since these automobiles can just drive around, especially if they're autonomous, they can just drive around the block 15 times waiting for their passenger to show up again, so they don't need to park, and that increases congestion. So for all of the rhetoric about reducing the amount of pollution in the world is foolish. And in the meantime, the airline industry may find itself getting completely disrupted, especially for short flights, as people choose to just stay in the car, relax, work. It's like taking a long train trip in your own personal coach. The last article is a little bit, perhaps more disturbing. The headline is Bills to Require Breathalyzers in Cars, Mandatory Mental Health Assessments. There's a representative from New York, Democrat Kathleen Rice, who's introduced two bills that have serious constitutional implications. Her bills will encourage law enforcement to continue into their police state mentality. And you know, once this starts, it's very difficult to walk it back. This article points out, if you thought that the TAPS Act was bad, wait until you read this. Our politicians are hard at work introducing bills that promise to turn America into a mirror image of China. Representative Kathleen Rice introduced a bill, H.R. 3374, otherwise known as the End Drunk Driving Act, would put breathalyzers and ignition interlock devices in every new car. According to the Long Island Herald, Rice wants to force auto manufacturers to put breathalyzers and ignition interlock devices in new cars by 2029. The End Drunk Driving Act would mandate that within 10 years, all cars sold nationwide come equipped with technology that would detect a driver's blood alcohol content and prevent the vehicle from moving if it is above the legal limit. With close to 280 million cars in the U.S. and over 226 million licensed drivers, nearly every American would be affected by this and other bills. If Rice's bill is passed, which is still unknown, it would effectively turn 226 million people into suspects. Well, that's correct. Why should 100% of the population be exposed to a breathalyzer test when only a very, very small percentage of people actually drink and then get behind the steering wheel? The bill states, in general, not later than 10 years after the date of enactment of the act, the secretary shall issue a final rule prescribing or amending a federal motor vehicle safety standard that would prevent operation of a motor vehicle when the operator is under the influence of alcohol. And it goes on to explain some of the particulars of that. Rice introduced another bill, H.R. 7099, which is known as the Prevent Impaired Driving Child Endangerment Act. It would force anyone convicted of a DWI with a child in the car to undergo a mental health assessment. The Herald states that every state would force law enforcement to give drivers mental health assessments or lose federal funding. This is a quote. Offenders would also be required to undergo an alcohol, substance abuse, and mental health assessment and receive treatment if necessary. The case would be added to state child abuse registries, and states that fail to comply could have certain federal funding withheld by the U.S. Secretary of Transportation. Rice's claim that only motorists who have been convicted of a DWI will be given mental health assessments is a lie. Why? Because it's already happening. For the past 3 years, police officers in Texas have been giving everyone they arrest a mental health assessment. Quote, once at jail, anyone who is arrested will be screened for mental illness. The jail would send those results to judges to consider when setting bond. The country will also start using a risk assessment tool to arrive at an estimated level of danger and flight risk posed by each defendant. So Rice's bill would turn drunk drivers into instant child abusers as well. It states, a law that requires if the individual is convicted of the offense and is a parent, guardian, or custodian of the child passenger or is otherwise legally responsible for the child passenger, the law enforcement agency that charges the individual with the offense or the appropriate court to file with the appropriate state register of child abuse a report on the individual concerning the offense. Well, turning people into instant child abusers for having one alcoholic beverage or being judged mentally unfit by law enforcement is appalling. This will indeed lead America down a dark and dangerous road. Now, I should be clear that I'm definitely not for drunk driving, and I'm sure you aren't either. It's ridiculous for anybody to get behind a wheel completely impaired and damage other people's property or take innocent lives. This is a very serious issue, for sure. But requiring 100% of the citizenry of our country to constantly undergo breathalyzer tests or else their cars will be locked is absurd. And furthermore, the police have no business setting up a psychological profiling system to apply these standards and assessments to people they run into on the street. They're not psychologists. They're not trained in that field. And furthermore, whatever data is picked up by the police or whatever they cook up will become a permanent part of your record. Whether right or wrong, getting bad data expunged from such a record will be extremely difficult and costly. Representative Rice is completely off base, but aside from the intent that we see on the surface of these acts, we must remember that Representative Rice is one of the most progressive liberal Democrats in the House of Representatives, and perhaps she has other motives as well than just protecting people. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, by the way, to share articles on Technocracy News and Trends, remember that on every story, there's a beautiful share bar at the top of it that allows you to pick any number of social media platforms or other platforms to share articles, and it's so important that you do. Censorship is out of control with all the major platforms, and most people aren't actually getting banned from using those platforms, but their posts simply aren't being displayed to anybody else in their newsfeed. This has happened to Technocracy News many times. When certain articles are posted, like on Facebook, it's easy to tell when an article is shadow banned. That's the process of simply dropping an article out of other people's news feeds. Because when shadow banning is in effect, an article will only be exposed to 10% or less of people than other stories that aren't shadow banned. The only answer to this is for you and everyone else to share stories directly onto your own feeds. You can do this on any social media simply by clicking on one of the buttons in the share bar. And they're all there. There's 101 different platforms that articles can be shared on. And if you simply want to email an article, there's a button for that too. Simply has an envelope on it. It's a green background. Just click it. It'll bring up your email client with the article link embedded in it, and away you go. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.